This Edgar Profiles podcast is supported by Ping. Edgar is an association of national federations formed in the year 2000 to develop and encourage initiatives which raise the awareness of golf, both as a participation and competitive sport for individuals with disability. For more information about Edgar, please visit edgargolf.com. Your host for this episode is Tony Bennett. Ping. Play your best.
Golf is often cited as being a precise game, one in which a single degree can make a huge difference. Just one degree deviation of the club face at the point of impact can result in the ball finding the trees rather than the fairway. For Daphne Van Houten, a single degree would have made little difference to the way her spine functioned. Daphne explained that for most people, a spine that is positioned between 0 and 10 degrees from vertical generally works just fine. So when she found her spine was at 52 degrees, it was time to do something about it. In this conversation, Daphne takes us through the decision that she made to have an operation, which would eventually give her the opportunity to walk and play golf, and explains what the game means to her. Please enjoy my conversation with Daphne Van Houten.
Ping. Play your best.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Daphne. Daphne Van Houten from the Netherlands.
And yeah.
We're here together at the Portugal Masters, where you're part of the Edgar demonstration team. So congratulations for making the team.
Thank you.
You did it on merit because you went out and won the European Golf Association European Championship in June.
Yeah.
And that must have been quite exciting to play in that and to go and win it.
Yeah, it was my first time and I just got in the team. And I'm excited about it.
So the excitement has grown then as you've started to understand actually what it is that you did by winning the championship.
Yeah. Especially when I got home, my parents were excited and they went with me to Troja. But when I got home, I got compliments from everyone, and that's when I started to notice what I did exactly.
Was it your parents that started you playing golf?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are they both golfers?
Yes.
When did you start? What age were you then?
6.
So had you played any other sports before that?
I was playing handball, I don't know.
Handball, yeah?
Yeah. And I started with that at age of 6 too, and got really good, but also good at golf. Huh. And needed to make a choice around age of 12, and I went for golf, so.
And no hockey, because, I mean, we think that everybody in Holland plays hockey.
Yeah, no, I don't like hockey. Right. No, it's not for me.
And where were you brought up? What part of Holland?
Utrecht, in the middle.
So that's the university town, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about your development as a player, because you started at 6, and it would obviously be just fun at that stage.
Yeah.
Just going out and playing. Do you play with your parents or do you play with other juniors? Or?
No, most of the time with my parents.
Right. And did you ever go to junior classes?
No. When I was 14, 15, just to have fun and was not big at the club I was at. But not really.
And what about when it started to become a little bit more competitive? How old would you be then? Because you're obviously, as I say, having fun, enjoying it. Even when you were 14, you were going to the junior school for fun.
Yeah.
When did it start to become a little bit more competitive for you?
I think around 16, because you then notice how good you are and gonna look for what you want to do later. And I liked golf and I knew that I could have got somewhere with it, and that's when I like, I never been like really, really serious about it, because that's not like in me.
Not in your character.
No.
No.
But I tried to do my best, and I think around 16, I knew that I needed to do something extra to go somewhere with golf.
And the golf club you remember at, what was the name of that?
Omkreek.
I'm going to have to ask you how to spell that one at some point when I start to write your story, but at least I understand
I'm now at Prinsenbosch and De Hane, but I started at Omkreek.
And at that golf course, was there other juniors there that you could compete against?
Yeah, but like not from my age. They were older or like younger, because I was there like 14, 13, so yeah.
Well, golf is pretty well accepted in Holland. You've got lots of people that play, lots of juniors that play.
Yeah.
It almost seems like every household has got somebody who's got a connection with golf. Maybe not playing the game, but they know somebody who plays the game.
Yeah.
So it's a very popular sport there.
Yeah, it is.
You mentioned at 12 years of age you started to be a little bit more, not serious, but a little bit more interested in golf and did a little bit more. But around 12 years of age, you also found out that you had something with your back that wasn't perhaps what we'll call regular.
Yeah.
So can you tell me a little bit about that and tell me how you found out about it in the first place, and then how that maybe affects you or affected you at that time?
I found out at the GGD that something children need to do in the Netherlands, go there and get checked, and they saw that my back wasn't straight, so I went to the hospital and got an x-ray, and that's when they found out, and I knew I couldn't play handball anymore, because when you jump and you land, your spine will like
compress.
Yeah. And I knew it because of that, my back was getting worse. So I quit that. But golf wasn't as good too. But I couldn't quit both. So I went for golf. And in the beginning, we didn't really notice that my back was getting worse because of the golf. But you do just one exercise at one way, and that's why it got worse, but also gravity, of course.
So when you've been diagnosed now as having this scoliosis, and at some point there has to be a decision about what you're going to do about it. So you made some kind of decision that said, well, you're going to have this strained. So what was that process like, and then actually what did they do to try and help straighten your spine?
When I got to the GGD and went to the hospital, they said at that time, you need to get an operation, like right now. And my father and I are really stubborn, so we said, no, we're not going to do that, because I still needed to grow. And if I had the operation, it wasn't good for me, because I wasn't full grown. And we started with some therapy and tried some things out. I went to Germany, and they had like an intern therapy where I needed to do exercises from like 8 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock in the evening, and just stay there, like a really intern. And that helped. It went from 50 degrees to 37. And I knew that I needed to repeat the exercises like every day for 1 hour. But I was still in school then, and I didn't have the time to do that like every day. So when I got to the age of 17, we decided that it was better to just get an operation. So I didn't had to do the exercises 1 hour every day for my whole life. And I was in a lot of pain, so I really needed to have an operation.
Tell me about those degrees, because I don't quite understand how that is measured. So you mentioned that your spine went from 50 degrees, I think you said, to 37 degrees.
Yeah.
Can you explain that to me? I'm having a little bit of difficulty understanding on the positioning of the spine.
They measure like where the curve starts.
Yeah.
They put a line, and where the curve ends, they put a line, and that's when how they measure how much degrees it is that it goes.
Scoliosis, yeah.
Yeah.
So what should it be? What would be perfect? Because I'm pretty sure that none of us are perfect.
Nobody has zero.
Yeah.
But between 0 and 10, it's doable.
Kind of normal, of what you'd accept in as general population.
Yeah, and if it gets worse than 30, then they gonna then you need to do therapy or an operation.
I get it. And you were 50.
Yeah.
So that's pretty big.
Yeah, at the worst point, 52, I think. Yeah.
So let's go forward to the operation now. So you had the operation, you're 17 years of age. So you had the operation. What process did you have to go through?
At first, then the operation. I got a date when I needed to have the operation and talked a bit with the doctor about what he's going to do. And when I went to the hospital to get the operation, I needed to go, I don't know how to call it, but it lasted 7 or 8 hours, and they just like put some steels in it and screws,
plates,
yeah.
And screws and bolts and pins.
Yeah, and when I when it was finished, I needed to stay for 1 week, but I hate the hospital, so I was doing everything to get out earlier, and I needed to walk the stairs and got like something that will
A brace to hold you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Another one. Yeah.
Yeah, to protect also the thing that was operated, that was open, and I got that and walked the stairs, and I went home after 4 days, I think. I just wanted to get home.
Get out of there.
Yeah, and my father thought about putting my bed downstairs because he thought I wasn't able to walk the stairs, but I was. And after 2 weeks, I was already playing golf again. Like, not really playing golf, but hitting balls with just half of a swing. But
it's an amazing recovery. I mean, it's really, really quick.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's two questions that come to mind. The first question, I guess, is what was going through your mind when you found out that you had to go through this operation? You're 17 years of age. It's not like you're 50 or 60 years of age. You're 17 years of age. You've got to go through this operation, and it's going to be potentially a life-changing operation. So what was going through your mind then?
Of course, the things that could have happened at the operation itself, because it's not a really easy operation. But I knew that it was better to do it for me, because I was in a lot of pain before I had the operation, and I knew that it went better after the operation. It was better, and of course my golf would be different, but golf is everything, but golf isn't everything. If I didn't have the operation, I couldn't even walk because of the pain when I was like 30, maybe. I could only lay in bed, and that's it. So this was something that needed to happen, yeah. And I knew that, so that made it a lot of easier.
Second question then is, how is your golf different? Because as you mentioned, you thought you were going to play a different game, different kind of game, different kind of swing, I guess. So how is your golf different?
I needed to take a step back because I was getting physical better and stronger. And after the operation, you're just tired all day and need to get back to the same level. And I just knew I wasn't gonna hit it further than I did before the operation, and that's true. I can't hit it as far as I did. Like with the short game, it isn't different with short game, but in the long game, I can't hit it as far. I'm tired easier. I'm still in pain, but less pain than just before the operation.
And how do you manage that pain? Is this pain on a daily basis, or is this pain when you play golf?
No, it's on a daily basis, but yeah, you just get used to it. It's there, but you know it's there, and you know it's there every day. And I don't even take painkillers anymore, because when I do that, I can take it every day, and it's not good for you. But it's like sort of routine.
Yeah.
You get used to it.
So tell me about the future, because you've got a long future in front of you, both as a person, as a golfer. And what are you looking for with your golf?
I got this question 1 week ago also. And I just said, have fun. That's it. I don't have a goal like go to handicap zero or win this or win that. I just want to enjoy it. That's it.
And I know that you're studying. I know that you're taking, I think I'm right in saying, sports marketing or sports management.
Yeah.
And what's your view then? Because you're now, I think, in your second year.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about that and what you're projecting for the future.
Like my study is a bit of plan B, because you always need to have a plan B to count on something. But I'm looking for maybe give a golf lessons later. But I'm not really sure, because I always had one goal, and that's play on the tour and play golf myself. And that, like, I don't know. I just knew I wasn't gonna can do that later, because of my back, because of I'm not gonna hit it that far. I'm not gonna make that much more steps to be as good as I need to be. And I gave a few lessons to little children, and found out I really like it, but I'm not sure yet. I want to look if I like it, if I want to do that later, but I'm not like 100% sure.
Well, there's certainly plenty of opportunities to get involved, even as a volunteer at some of the local golf clubs, to be able to help out with the junior lessons. So there's plenty of opportunities for you to try it out.
Yeah.
Just got two more questions for you. What does golf mean to you?
Kind of everything. Yeah. I was, like, 1 year ago, half a year ago, I didn't really enjoy it anymore, because I was just playing golf, and I needed to do it that much that I also, when I didn't want to, and that kind of got me to a point where I just didn't want to do golf anymore. But yeah, I'm addicted. I can't stop. And I found it out because I didn't play golf for like 4 months, and went back on the course because I just said I need to play golf.
Yeah.
So it means somewhere it still means everything for me. Yeah.
Tell me one more. What advice would you give to somebody who's in a similar situation to yourself when you were 17? And it might not be the same operation. It might be a different operation. What advice would you give to somebody who was in your shoes then?
Just be positive. That's it, I think. I was thinking about the negative things of my operation, and there also were a lot of positive things. And you just need to focus on that. Because for me, it was better to get an operation. But if you think about what can happen in the operation itself, what it will do after the operation, you need to know, but you don't need to focus on that, because you'll just get crushed, I think.
Good advice. If somebody wanted to get hold of you, wanted to reach you, to ask you some advice, is there any way that people can reach out to you?
You can always send an email or call me. Don't know what you want.
Well, thank you very much, Stephanie. I've really enjoyed speaking to you. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks
a lot.
Ping. Play your best.
Our partners are very important to Edgar, and I would like to introduce you to a short, true story told by Ping.
Ping. Play your best.
A key resource that has enabled Ping to perform experiments and extensive tests on new golf designs is a superhero who was once described as the world's best golfer. At only 5 feet high, 6 feet wide, and 7 foot thick, weighs over 1,000 pounds, he is known as Pingman. Pingman is a robot that is used for product and prototype testing. He mimics human movement by having a shoulder turn and a wrist hinge that can load a golf shaft on the way down. He can even bend 10 degrees at the waist like a human golfer to accommodate clubs from a wedge to a driver. Pingman hits tens of thousands of golf balls a year. He only hits brand new golf balls to ensure accurate testing, and tests 9 different face locations on the product to ensure we know exactly how product will perform from not only centrally struck shots, but from off-centered struck shots too. Pingman can swing it up to 160 miles per hour, which compared to a couple of Ping's big hitters in Bubba Watson and Tony Finau, who get it out at a very respectable 125 miles per hour, Pingman is like no other golfer on the planet. Thanks to the data Pingman produces, Ping only introduces new product when testing it to be proven to be better performing than the current product.
This was an Edgar Player story supported by Ping, helping golfers to play their best. For more information about Edgar, please visit edgargolf.com. Stay tuned for the next Edgar podcast. Ping. Play your best.